Yutamus Mem Kusamich Vav Alecha Dalit. And we're going to Simen Kusamich Zayin Alecha Ches. Chazal teach us, and we're still discussing this concept of Me'oinen. We discussed yesterday that it's related to the word Oina, time, figuring out appropriate times and negative times. And we said that that's something to stay away with, unless away from, unless it's something that we already have established, like a wedding date. And that really is only explained that it's based on the fact that it's going to be a Simen Bracha. But there's another example of Me'oinen, and I know this might shock some people, this is called Eichazes Ainai. Basically means it's the, it's called seizing the eyes. And that basically means magicians. Now I know there's a lot of Jewish magicians and religious magicians. So really what they're relying on, as we'll see in a moment, the Moshe finds he has a tshuva on this. The Kitzur seems to hold, which is based on the Rambam. And I'll read to you the exact words. Basically, he's like fooling people's eyes and he's creating an illusion as if he's doing wondrous things that are out of nature. You ever see the guy that does the, I have close friends, they do the flying cards and a mamish, or they read your mind. Now, all these things, halachically, so according to Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to do. The batchanim, people that are doing, also types of joking around by chasnas, someone that hires them is also over alav, and someone, and therefore according to Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, is very against these type of things, and certainly to watch them. Now, interesting that he says a non-Jew is okay. So first of all, it's ever so hard for me to ever say better to hire a non-Jewish magician than a Jewish magician. But there's one etzav. The Jewish magician establishes from the beginning, obviously, he's not going to relate how it's done, which would actually be the best way, but that costs a lot of money. But at least that it's clear without any suffix of the mind that there's no supernatural powers here. And it's probably one of the biggest challenges for a magician, because that's probably one of the major parts of the fun. But this is at least what Klor in the halacha, the Pashim Shad in halacha is, and therefore it's something I think would be quite challenging. Like I said, there's cards and all these fun tricks you could do. But whatever it is, it should be clear. And I think it's also such a powerful Ashkafa that there is no other outside powers that we're allowed to believe in other than Hashem. I mean, this is also the Rambam Lashitasa, that he held that there's no Kishuv and all these things. So it's an interesting Mahalach. In any case, the Kitzur goes on to explain, especially to seek what's called magicians, sorcerers, you know, Harry Potters, unless it's a Kanas Nefashas, which is interesting. That if there's a certain situation, a medical situation, so then one's allowed to heal himself from an idolatrous sorcerer. Very interesting. But this also, one should definitely ask a Shaila. And this, all this relates to the next Siman, which is Avodah Zarah. So there's a clear, it's one of the big threes, not to worship idols, but there's other extensions of that. Any idol is forbidden to have any benefit from it. Even the what's included in this is also the accessories, any of the beautifications, adornments, and offerings, which is quite serious. All these things, even if it got mixed up, and usually something that's mixed up on 160 is but it's nullified. Here it's not nullified. If it gets mixed into, you have, let's say, a shirt that, as we'll see in a moment, that might be also gets mixed up with other shirt, it could be all forbidden. So one has to be so careful when it comes to these things. As an example, is like food that's placed in front of it. I was once in Manhattan in the Lower East Side. I was supposed to sing somewhere. It was a really funny thing. And I walk into this temple. I thought it was a synagogue. And there was this idol with food and apples in front of it. That's when I understood what Tikkos Avodah Zarah is. But in any case, so when it comes to a non-Jew, he has the ability, interesting, to be mevatel, to cancel Avodah Zarah. Similarly, the accessories and the beauty. How does he do that? He has to do with his hands. And that could be even just this snipping something off the Avodah Zarah idol, etc. He has the ability to do so. He can't do so. We can't do so, meaning Jews. And they can't do it if it's owned by Jews. When it comes to candles that were lit and then extinguished by the non-Jew, by the idol worshiper, if it's done for his own benefit and he sells it to a Jew, since he put out the light, that showed that he was mevata, that he nullified it. Nevertheless, even these things that are permitted now to be bought and purchased and enjoyed shouldn't be used for something holy at Val Mitzvah, because it's considered most, it's considered disgusting, repugnant, to use something like that for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What about clothing that the priests wear when they go into their house of worship? So, you know, by the way, there's a major dispute about the Christianity, and definitely you get these shayas many times, should you go to the Vatican or not? That's definitely one of the places you should run away from for many different reasons. But first of all, it's a major machlokes of Avodah Zarah or not. And even if for them it might not be, but for us it certainly is. And it's called Shituf. And therefore, one should distance himself as much as possible. This is a special situation. When it comes to the noi, that means the beautifications that the Kehanim, these priests, wear. So, first of all, some say they don't need the nullification, some say they do. And definitely one should avoid these things. You're not supposed to stare at, as I said, sometimes you go to these different Thailand and all these places. We have real Avodah Zarah. Not talking about Buddhism and China, which is actually much less. Sri Lanka was the ones that these places actually believe more in, like, I forgot the term, where a person basically is trying to reach a state where he leaves the world, but they're not really believing any powers and certainly not physical idols. But then there's places that they really worship idols. So you're not allowed to look at an idol, and it's beautification either. It's based on the Pasuk HaTifne LaElilim. And one should distance himself from the house or anything. And of course, from the idol himself, at least six feet, which is 4 amos. One's not listen to any of the instruments or smell the smell that's placed in front of these idols. And if a person hears the songs that are sang, that's why songs that are sang even in the Christian temple, etc., and the different types of churches, you know, they say from Shlomo Kalbach, I think he said about himself, that he never used any of his nigunim from Christianity, etc. And that's the reason why he had such success. Some imams to that, and I think he listened to his nigunim, his taka has such a certain sense of purity. And although we know there's Ma'aril, many discussions about the fact that many of our nigunim actually did come from churches and everything else, but the fact that we don't know that it is, and we don't now relate it to them, that already I think has a. And then there's Rav Nachman from Breslau, there's a whole Torah, and if you learn Torah at night, then you could handle it. So these things, Achatchila, definitely should be avoided, and that's what the Kitzur is teaching us here. Someone has a thorn in his foot, or money that fell, and he's standing in front of an idol, definitely should not bow down in a way that he's picking up the coins, and it looks like he's bowing down. He should turn himself to the side or his back. In an area where non-Jews, idol worshippers, gather together and ask for forgiveness. It's such an interesting concept. You know, going to the priest and basically he forgives you for all your sins. Father, I did this and this and that. Forgive me. So the halach is you're not allowed to do business there and hang out in such a place. So avoid this. And lastly, one's not even allowed to mention, to avoid everything you can, to mention the names of idols. Whether it's even a benefit, for example, or a need, you have to go and meet someone. He says, oh, I'll meet you in this church, in front of this in this church. Really should avoid saying so. And it's been, you're not even allowed to cause a non-Jew to mention an idol, because based on the pasuk Leishama al picha, you shouldn't even cause the name of Avodah Zarah to come up on through you, even in the mouth of a non-Jew. And if he has to swear, so then there's more of a leniency. The names of the holidays, just like the names of people, there's no concern to mention them, which is interesting. But as long as it's not being called in a way of giving them chashivas, or giving them importance. So this is not so simple. In the Masaf of the Zohar, it gives a list of different names. Really, in fact, the next halacha, which by the way is missing in the art scroll, Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, wants to know that whenever we speak about the Zohar, it should be done in a way that's degrading. So even Xmas, the whole discussion, can you say Xmas, Christmas? I'm saying this just for the benefit of understanding. It's the name of the actual holiday. If it's the actual name of the actual holiday, so it's questionable whether a person, that's why there's an Indian to say it, and even say it in a somewhat of a degrading way. And certainly other types of Avodah Zarah. So a person should avoid as much as possible to not use the exact name that gives it importance.